Well, Montana, well, we are so glad to have you back.
I'm so glad to be back.
On this episode of Lose Obscura. Anything you'd like to share with everybody? Any updates? God.
I mean, I do love to share. There are no updates. That's Life okay. is exactly the same as it was a month ago.
Even better. Maybe.
I mean, actually, no. Life is, like, probably a little bit better than it was a month ago because, like, I hate my job a little bit less because I care a lot less. And so that is really good for my mental health.
That's really amazing. And that is great advice from your boss.
It was from my own boss who said, quote unquote, this is the only time a manager will tell you this, but I need you to care less.
And you went on vacation too.
And then I went on vacation and I came back and every time someone asks me something, I go, I don't care.
I don't know. That's like literally not my job. Goes,
what should I do with this? I go, I don't care.
Figure it out. I'm not your boss or your mom or your lawyer.
Literally none of those things. Either figure it out or call the fucking manager, who I am not.
So, I think that's beautiful.
Life is good.
So let me talk about a little bit about what we're going to do today.
God, I can't wait.
And well, you, I mean, feel free to interject whenever, because this is your episode excited. As much as it is
I'm
mine.
Just excited, that's all.
I'm so excited for us to be here today. What did Ty say? So he's going to stop by. He gets off work at 8, but he's going to come here. He has to shoot a concert tonight, so he's going to, like, pick up his camera.
What concert is he shooting?
I don't know, some person I've literally never heard of. Some, like, indie artist that I don't know.
We're not cool enough.
No, it's like too underground. You wouldn't know them.
Yeah,
I wouldn't know them either. Okay, so I wanted to have you on to have a very special episode of reading Fast and Furious fan fiction. But we have a short and storied history with the Fast and Furious franchise. And there's no one else I would want to have on this podcast to talk about this other than you.
I mean, there's no other podcast I would want to be on but reading Fast and Furious fanfiction.
It's really for us, and I hope that this reaches the target audience. I, like, don't really know who it is.
In fact, as I left work today, I said, hey, you want to know what I'm doing today to my coworker? And he said, oh God, what are you doing? And I said, I'm going over to Olivia's to read Fast and Furious fanfiction for the podcast. And he burst out laughing and went, yeah, of course you are.
Of course we are. That's what we're doing. And he knows how we are.
He gets it.
He gets it. And I mean, I guess I first, because this is our first Fast and Furious episode that we're doing together.
Yes. And I honestly, okay, so like.
this might be our magnum opus.
It might be your magnum opus, but also I do feel strongly in my heart that this is like the first
of many.
Yes. Like, I think many, that this of a is, series. Like, there will be a recurring theme of, like, you and me talking about Fast and Furious.
I totally agree with you, and I love it's taken off the pressure to do, like, one mega episode with everything.
Yeah, we had too many ideas. There were too many things there's that we've talked about wanting to do.
There's too much there. There's too much lore. Hi, Adam.
There's too much family.
There's too much family. And there's a lot, and, like, it's a completely different franchise at the end than at the beginning. There's just too much.
Oh, like, yeah, we couldn't do it in one 10 episode. 10 and 1 are, like,
different
not,
movies.
They don't exist in the same universe.
No, it's completely.
Because 10 exists in a universe that, like, has foregone physics altogether.
100%. But I guess, okay, so, like, a little bit about how I first came across Fast and Furious fan fiction is because when we started watching these movies last fall, me and Ty started watching a couple, like, a little bit before we got you into them. And after the first couple ones, I was like, this feels rather gay. Like, does anyone else think this is gay? Like,
this feels like pretty homoerotic.
Very homoerotic, extraordinarily fruity, but like, if you're in, like, the subreddit, for example, like, it's just
the
gross.
Subreddit is only straight men, and yeah. I'm convinced that I'm convinced that these are people who, like, watched the movie but did not absorb anything.
They didn't
They
get
are
it.
People who, like, don't understand the word subtext, honestly.
No,
because
literally.
I'm in that subreddit, and I see these people's takes.
The takes are so,
like,
off-base.
Did we watch the same movie? And the answer is yes, but one of us watched it, and one of us, like, was merely in front of it while it played.
I couldn't agree more. Because, yeah, like, before I ever touched a Fast and Furious movie, I thought it was, like, a bro movie. And we are really passionate about the fact that it's not. It's a beautiful, tender story of love, loyalty, and chosen family, which is inherently a gay concept.
It is. And, like, I came to Fast and Furious because my very queer brother had for a while been like, yo, you need to watch this. Like, as someone who drives a stick and is gay, you need to watch this.
Those are the only two requirements.
And I was kind of like, yeah, you couldn't pay me to get into this. I don't care. And then Olivia watched it and started texting me, and I went, okay, I'm in.
Like, it is so incredible. You can't really describe it. And no. Also, like, if someone doesn't want to understand how beautiful it is, you can't make them.
No, they won't understand it. You can't force this knowledge on someone. It's a deep understanding in your soul.
It is. And it's like, yeah, like it is really one of the things where you either get it or you don't.
Yeah.
And
I concur. Just like being gay.
So I was Googling like Fast and Furious gay, and obviously I came across a vibrant
side note. That's also community. What I had to Google in order to get the topper for your birthday cake.
I found an incredible Tumblr visual that has the picture that you use for my birthday cake. Here, do you want me? Should so I share this in Canva?
Yeah. Yeah, sure, share it in Canva.
My listeners know about the cake.
Okay, so I was gonna say, yeah, I made Olivia a birthday cake with an incredible topless photo of Dom and Brian, and I found it by sitting at work one day, pretty bored.
I love that I was on the work computer, too.
No, bitch, that was on my laptop.
Oh, your laptop, okay.
No, that was on my laptop.
You weren't just, like, trusting the incognito window?
Oh, no.
Fingers crossed.
No. And I was texting Ty going, which one of these pictures are better? And then it hit me. And then I Googled Fast and Furious gay kiss. And that's how I got there. Because the only one of them actually kissing was drawings. And I didn't want drawings. I wanted photos.
No, we need photos.
I wanted like Photoshop.
Because that photo looks real, but it's not real.
It's not real?
The one that you put on the cake?
Real. Yeah, that's not a real photo.
I reverse image searched it and I cannot find it anywhere. That's like not like. Oh,
I didn't know that.
No, like, I don't know like how they even did it. Because it's not.
I swear
it's
that's
not
a real photo,
for any movie promo.
No, but it doesn't look
fake.
No.
I think they might have just like completely flattened it and like superimposed both of them like into the image. I will post this on my grid. Like, yeah. I will post it on Instagram for the people to see.
I am choosing to believe that this is a real photo, but it's not a movie promo. It's just Vin Diesel and Paul Walker took that photo one day. It's that's kind of what just like, I am choosing to believe for my own narrative.
I mean, if only. Yeah, and I and like
it's a very hot picture.
Where's my
also
recording?
Okay, wait, I don't remember if I've read this or not, but there is a Slate article from 2019
about
that is titled, quote, "The Fast and Furious movies have
always
been
gay.
Gay."
And I've read that article and I agree with every single point it makes.
I don't know if I've read this or not, but I'm
I feel like I've sent it to
that.
You.
I think I've sent it to you.
I found it when I was doing research for like the like when I was gonna do the Fast and Furious episode the first time around.
That's right.
Because we
okay,
were
all I can say is that I just searched Fast and Furious gay, and the second result in photo images is a picture of Kristen Stewart, a picture of Vin Diesel, and a picture of Lil Nas X. And the title it's from Out Magazine, and it says 16 LGBT celebs we want to see join dot dot dot. All I know is that that's what comes up for Fast and Furious. Okay.
I mean,
just to start there.
Yeah. Yeah, this picture. Yeah, there's like a Fever Dream photo that I don't know if someone like.
Oh.
Wait, no, this is it. This is the one. Wait, yeah, because the full. This is
this
the picture.
Is a crazy one.
This is the picture that
do you,
you put on.
Yes,
my
that's
cake.
The picture I used on your
and
cake.
And the full picture is like he's like on the hood of the car. Like Paul Walker is completely sat on the hood of the car, and Vin Diesel is standing beside him,
that's
and they are both oiled up and shirtless as fuck.
Too bad I'm not like I don't know 16, so Paul Walker would date me. Sorry, can I say that on the podcast?
God, I love having you on the podcast so much.
Also, just much
what better. Is that?
We'll post all of these on the grid that we're looking at.
You have to screenshot that because I want it
if
so
anyone
bad.
To this, they need to also be able to see these photos.
Okay, so I want to share this with Canva. Let me. Anyone with the link can access. So don't give this link to anyone else, okay, Queen?
So don't do this on my work Canva.
What's your email? What can I email that I Canva link to?
MONT.
Oh, I think I might have emailed you something before. Isn't it crazy how like you can be like fully like. So close with someone in the year 2024 and never sent them an email.
Also, I was about to just fully say my email on the pod. I think Adam is laying on my vape.
Oh.
Nope. Sorry, buddy.
Oh, no.
He's here somewhere.
I think he might be laying.
No, I think he is.
There he is. He sure was.
Sorry. Adam loves the vape pens. And if there's one thing about Montana, it's that, like, she is always carrying different vape pens.
He loves them.
And yes, that is my worst feature.
He wants to... Did you listen to the Celebrity Memoir Book Club this week from Gracie Gold, the figure skater?
No, I don't know who that is.
I didn't really know either, but I it was a good episode. Like, it was a pretty good book. I found it to be interesting, but it was so funny because she kept, like, they kept, I didn't read the book, so I don't know, but they kept insinuating that she kept talking about, like, how she's such a badass because she takes her vape everywhere.
I mean, one thing I have said, and I will say until the day I stop vaping, is that, like, we should be ashamed of ourselves. It's embarrassing. And you should be embarrassed. Also, I'm not going to stop vaping. But, like, am I embarrassed when someone goes, do you have a vape pen? Yeah, I'm fucking embarrassed.
Yeah.
Like, why? I don't know why I'm not just smoking cigarettes like a normal person. And I do know why. The answer is that you can't smoke a cigarette inside a car.
You're like, what can I say? I want to smoke at work.
I can't, like, smoke a cigarette sitting in the back office at work.
You're my only friend who vapes.
Yeah, because it's fucking embarrassing, and we should all be embarrassed. But the other thing is, like, I always have, like, multiple, because I have, like, I usually have a weed vape and a nicotine vape.
Yes. And I partake in your weed vape, and I just, like, haven't had a cartridge in mine forever.
I mean, and I also, I'll get you one if you need.
But can I say, I actually do need one if you have one. Okay. But, I can say that, like, the few times that I've taken a puff off of your vape when you put, like, fresh juice in it, or when you used to get the flavored ones, like, you had, like, a disposable one once.
Yeah.
And I took a puff off of that, and I was like, this is way too fun. Like, I am having way too good of a time right now. Like, for 3 blissful seconds, you get that rush of nicotine in your head, and you're like, oh my God. And that's why I can't have a vape, because I would love it way too much.
My friend Lexi, who is known to be able to take, like, literally any drug and drink any amount of alcohol and just, like, withstand it. Like, it's fucking crazy. One night hit my nicotine pen and...
Can I actually hit your weed?
Immediately threw up.
Really?
Yes, from the nicotine head rush.
Weird. I tried one. I think I tried... Maybe it was Ember's one time. She got a watermelon one.
I do love the
watermelon. And the watermelon. It was so good. It was
right
really
now,
yummy.
I have, like, a tropical flavor, and I'm not sold on it. But I will say also that California, like, is one of the states that locked down the flavored juices. And so my options are limited.
Well, yeah, what's so funny is when I go in, they, like, act like you're, they're like, you want the good stuff. And they, like, take you in the back to, like, show
literally,
you the secret flavor.
I love
our first time I went in there with into the smoke shop with you and you did that. I was like, what is he selling you? Like, is it black market drugs?
Literally.
And it's actually just like a Miami mint elf bar.
I went in to buy more illegal nicotine juice the other day, and it was literally, like, covered by, like, hanging sheets of bubble wrap.
That is so
sketchy.
And,
like, bong bags. And he moved everything away and had to, like, uncover the cabinets. And I was like, yeah, what do you want?
It's giving, like, opening the trench coat and having, like, vapes, like in the trench coat.
Like, somehow it's more sketchy than when I used to buy Coke.
It's true. There's an... It's, like, shrouded in this, like, illicit...
It's shrouded in mystery.
It's true.
Yeah.
And, like, I mean, honestly...
I have grape. And I'm like, no, I don't want grape.
Cigarettes are more stigmatized than cocaine in our current day.
Ooh, that's a hot...
Okay, do you think that smoking nicotine is, like, less socially acceptable than doing coke? Because I actually do.
Ooh, I agree.
I think people who do coke would be, like...
I agree. I've just never heard that comparison. I feel like the comparison is always cigarettes versus vaping. I've never heard the cigarettes versus coke before.
I
agree.
I'm talking, like, nicotine as a whole. Like, vapes, cigarettes. Like, I feel like that's more stigmatized. Maybe where we are, coastal elite California vibes.
I think
more stigmatized than cocaine.
I don't think vaping is stigmatized in California. I think California is very, like... pro vaping and anti-cigarette in the most classically Californian hypocritical way it can.
Interesting. And I think you're right.
But I do think that, yeah, everyone, like, people are doing a lot of coke here. Although I don't know, because I, like, stopped doing drugs during COVID. And so, like, now that fentanyl's a thing, I don't know if people are, like, scared of it or if that's just me.
I don't know either, because, like, I would be so scared to touch a street drug.
That's how I am now too. Like, I, for a long time, I was like, alcohol is not my thing. I have stomach issues. Like, I'm not a drinker, but I would experiment and try, like, any sorts of drugs that people offered me,
which is fascinating because I did not, and, like, I was scared to do that, and, like, still,
oh, no,
I'm still scared
the whole time. I would be, like, very scared, and
but
I
you'd be like, I'm gonna do it anyway.
Once. Yes,
I was scared of death until I was, like, 21, and then I, like, something happened, and I wasn't anymore.
This is a real moment in my life where I texted my drug dealer and went, okay, but this is safe, right?
Girl, it's
like, I mean, yeah, they were pills, but, like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I guess what people would do now is they would get those strips to test them.
So,
did you test head drugs when you did that?
I mean,
is that, like, common, or is that, like, no, like, is if someone,
again,
if you're
I
doing,
don't know, because
I wonder if you're, like, at a party and you pull out a tester, people are like, fucking loser testing your drugs. Like, I feel like,
okay,
that would be stigmatized.
Two things that play there. One, I don't think anybody is testing their drugs at parties. Two, I think. And
I guess,
like,
can you tell that I don't?
I think in 2024, if you pulled out a test kit at a party, I don't actually think you'd be shunned, because I do think that, like,
the fentanyl crisis is so real.
It is. And again, this is a very, very small sample size. I don't know. But I will say that, like, even my friends who still do a lot of drugs are kind of like, yeah, that's a thing I think about. It's not something that dissuades them, but it is something that they're aware of
it's
and,
in
like,
their
paying
mind.
Attention
yeah.
to.
And, like, sometimes you can know something and, like, still, like,
When I lived in the frat house, like, we always had a couple test kits and Narcan on hand. Where it was one of those things where it was like, we all do a lot of drugs. We don't want anyone to die.
Yeah.
Okay, sure, it's not safe to, like, be doing the drugs, but, like, how can we keep each other as safe as
possible?
Well,
it's like how...
still being 20 and in college.
It's like how abstinence-only sex education doesn't work, because people are going to have sex anyway. It's like, you just have to do it as safely as you can.
But you still got to have condoms on hand.
People in college are going to do cocaine. Just, like, maybe do it safer than, like, just throwing caution to the wind.
Yeah. That is exactly my feeling on it.
Interesting. I actually feel like I've been wanting to go to one of those, there's this place in El Cajon, or, like, City Heights that does Narcan trainings.
Oh, yeah, you should.
I would want to go. I should go to that. I mean, I've never been to one, and I just feel like I should have it.
This is such a bad take. Nobody listened to me. But, like, it's a nasal spray, right? Like, what's the train?
I guess
okay. I mean, I've been Narcan trained, but even still, like, okay, so you spray it.
Right.
Anyway. But yeah, no, I do think
I was like, I should probably get
but
that.
But also, I am a big proponent of, like, everyone out there, like, be safety trained. I'm CPR trained and Narcan trained, and I have never used either of them. And I also think that they are really valuable things to know about and things that I would like to, like, re-up my education on and maintain as an adult. So everyone go do that. Also, Narcan is a nasal spray, not a needle. Don't be scared of it.
Yes, not even as scary as an EpiPen.
Exactly my point.
Dang. Montana, thank you for spreading the good word on the podcast. This has been oliviasobscura.edu.
Sorry, I don't know how I went down that path at all. I'm so sorry.
You want to know what would have been more fun if it had coke in it?
What?
Fast and Furious.
I mean, we could change that.
That was my segue back into the episode.
Thank you. Let's talk about Fast and
Furious. I don't know what we were talking about. I love a tangent. And we can go on another one, but we got to circle back every once in a while.
Yeah, so let's circle back. Let's get into this.
Did you get the link? Sent it to your email.
Perfect. Yeah, I got it.
But yeah, I mean, okay, there was one other thing that I wanted to...
Okay,
so I'll tell you when you can open which links.
Okay.
I don't want you to read ahead because I haven't really read ahead. So actually, like, okay, here's what I was going to say earlier and that I forgot to say. I went through, like, 46 pages on, like, AO3 and, like, fanfic.net, and I vetted, like, hundreds of... Are you looking at the pictures? Are they so funny?
Sorry, I just, like, hand over mouth gasped.
I threw over... Okay, so I included some visual aids in the Canva doc that I just shared with Montana, and one of them is this picture of Dom Toretto, and it says in, like, cursive, bitch... What does it say? It says... Bitch, call the cops, I'll have sex with them. Which is really funny if you know what we're about to talk about.
I mean, it's also funny if you don't know what we're about to talk
That's also true. Did you like the bisexual one, too?
I like all of these, holy fuck.
Those are from the Tumblr. The Tumblr? Gay Fast and Furious Tumblr community is alive and well, and I was really happy to see that today.
I have to get back on Tumblr because the Reddit is so not for me.
It's not for me. Okay, well, I cannot make this fucking point. I'm getting so distracted because this is also fun and exciting to talk about. No, keep going. I'll figure it out. I went through, like, dozens, if not over 100 different fanfics today, and I had to nick so many of them because they were porn. And I'm not reading that on the podcast. Like, I would put that behind a paywall, absolutely. But, like...
That should be our...
We can put that on... We can read explicit... Fast. And I'm not saying what we're about to read isn't going to be suggestive or R-rated. But it's
I've
not
always
like...
I wondered if I would be good at phone sex. This is, I guess, how I could try
it out. I couldn't get on board with the ones that were just, like, straight up. I was like, you need to have a story here.
What I want
to
know
is
how many
times... So I tried to find ones that had a story, that had some feeling, because I think that is what makes the movie so special, is the charm that they have and the homoeroticism.
Agreed.
And the chemistry is what sells those movies.
I don't know if we've, like, talked about this enough, but, like, what makes Fast and Furious... It's so special and makes it what it is to us is genuinely the chemistry between Paul Walker and Vin Diesel.
Correct. If and it, like, was not those two men cast in those roles, God. It would not be the same.
It's crazy. And I think that's, like, it's a thing that comes through because they had a personal relationship. You know what I mean? Like, Vin Diesel walked Meadow Walker down the aisle.
You've told me that.
Like, they had a real life
connection.
Yeah,
and she's like,
mirrors the chemistry in a way that, like, you couldn't just pick with two actors. Like,
she does personal Instagram. I think he's her godfather.
He is.
Which is, like, so sweet.
Yeah. No, like, those two men bonded in a deep, deep way, both in and out of this franchise.
And it's, like, palpable on screen.
Yes.
And, yeah, because, I mean, we tried to watch XXX last weekend. And okay. I could not get into it because
I never cared less about a movie.
I could never care less.
I've ever seen.
I did not give a fuck about anything that Vin Diesel was doing. What are you looking for?
We can have to talk about it.
And it's because, like, he's not, like, Paul Walker and Vin Diesel are not, like, impressive, exciting actors to watch on their own isolated, usually.
Okay, first of all, how dare you talk about The Past Fire?
Vin Diesel killed in The Past Fire.
Thank you.
That is such a good role for him.
Thank you. The fact that he made The Past Fire in 2005 in the midst of the Fast Furious franchise, because that's two movies in mind.
I love that he was like, I don't know, I just wanted to, like, make a movie for kids.
I gotta look into that, because, like, was it the money? Was it the motivation? Like, why did he make that movie?
Because my...
Also, thank God
my cynical mind goes to, like, what were you trying to cover up where you're trying to project a family-friendly, like, image like that?
Ooh,
because I'm, like, blind item pill.
Well, I mean, there... I mean, okay, in the last, whatever, 6 months, there have been allegations of sexual harassment against Vin Diesel, so I'm curious.
I, like... Yeah, and the thing is, that, like, came up, like, a couple months ago, and then just immediately got wiped away. It's weird. I was like,
that
does he have Selena Gomez's PR team? Well, where they just, like, wipe stuff off the internet?
I mean, okay, take one. Yeah.
Probably.
My, like, wishful thinking is that, like, it was exactly what they said it was, which is, like, workplace sexual harassment, and that it just didn't go further. And so then what didn't happen was people didn't come out of the woodwork with more and more stories making it a news item.
That
and that's why it faded.
Is an interesting point.
And again, that's right. My wishful thinking on two halves, right? Like, one half is that, like, the ladies got the justice they wanted and it went away, and the other half is the boys weren't as bad as they could have been. I don't know that either of those things are actually true.
That is such a good point.
But
we could wish
that's
that,
like,
that was
personal
the case.
Headcanon about the Vin Diesel allegations. And honestly, like, if any of you know anything that proves me wrong, like, I would love to. So all I can say is, if I can be proven wrong, thank you. But in the meantime, I'm gonna just say that that got dealt with and went away, and I'm gonna go back to standing this movie.
We're standing the movie, okay? We're standing the movie. We are, yeah, gonna read some freaking fan fiction. I skimmed these lightly. I read, like, the first paragraph and then kind of just, like, skimmed to make sure they weren't, like, for lack of a better term, triple X rated. And I think we'll see where it goes. But
oh God, I can't
what
wait.
I do want to say first and foremost is that, one sec, let me get my tabs open here in, like, a orderly fashion, because they're not orderly right now. I do want to give, like, a quick honorable mention to the title of one of said explicit fan fictions, which is King of the Streets, King of the Sheets, which I thought just deserved a bit of a shout out.
Yeah.
From Murder Trash does. Baby Rat.
Oh, that also deserves a shout out. Like,
that's a good username.
I want to be friends with that person.
If anyone wants to read that, that is available on Archive of Our Own. King of the Streets, King of the Sheets by Murder Trash Baby Rat. Okay. So which one do we want to start with? Is one, like, kind of calling to you? Like, we only have maybe, like, three to choose from.
Let's just start with that.
Ooh, they're kind of lengthy. I, like, had no idea if this is going to be, like, a 30-minute episode or a 3-hour episode. Like, it's tough to say.
Well, do you think one is the best?
I don't know. I guess the one that I think
I
is maybe
read them yet.
The one that I'm, like, maybe the most excited about, just based on, and I they all kind of started to blur together, so I don't know. Mm-hmm. But if I had to guess, I'm, like, the most eager to read the repeat offense one.
Okay, so let's leave that one for last. Let's start with King of the Streets, King of the Sheep.
Oh, we're gonna read that one. I wasn't gonna read that one. That was just an honorable mention for the title.
Oh,
but we can read it.
No, I thought we were reading all of them.
No, that one is just, like, that one is, like, actually too raunchy for the podcast.
Okay, real quick, I'm going to go ahead and just open that.
It also, like, and here's the thing is, like,
I'm going to just go ahead and save that real quick.
I respect good erotica, but it's just not good writing.
Okay, I don't know. This first sentence.
Can you read it? Actually, I'm opening it up too now. What the hell?
This is so bad it's good. Oh my God, I'm going to just read. It's a couple sentences, but it's the first line. Okay, here we go. Repeated offense.
Oh, you're on repeated offense.
I am.
Oh, I thought you were on King of the Streets, King of the Sheets.
We'll circle back, but I am going to read the first line of repeated offense.
I'm opening up repeated offense.
I just opened this and it shook me to my core.
Is this, like, a multi-chapter one? One of these has, like, a ton of chapters.
I don't know. This one starts. Here we go. Is it wrong? It is wrong, but right. It is irrational, but logical. It is crazy, but balanced. It's miserable, but blissful. Opposing opinions are common, and different people may describe it in different ways. But what cannot be disputed is that it is a secret, and it is recurring.
I don't even know where to go from there. I don't even have an analysis.
No notes.
I'm sold.
I'm in. Okay, sorry. Now we'll circle back to King of the Streets, King of the Sheets, but
we'll circle back to that later.
Wow.
So yeah, King of the Streets, King of the Sheets, like, is crazy. It's like really, oh, it's actually like so short, but it's just like bad.
Oh, I didn't click the yes continue on AO3.
They make you make sure that you're overage or whatever.
Yeah. I'm old enough to read.
But
wait, I just want to, okay, I just like randomly scrolled through this, and I want to read one standout line. Here we go. Dom circles around, so he's in front of him again, and holy shit, a few months wasn't enough time to get over him at all. No, it feels exactly like it did on day one, when he first decided he was going to do everything in his power to make Dominic fucking Toretto pay attention to him. When the mission became secondary to just getting Dom to even look at him. Oh, it's earlier on than I realized. It's very early in King of the Streets, King of the Sheets. But wow, I love these movies more than I can describe, you guys. Like, because you know what? A random fan may have written that, but you bet your goddamn ass that that is what's in the movie.
Like, the thing is that, like, it is the...
That is literally the plot of the first movie. Like that's the plot of the movie!
Like, it's... I actually just can't believe it if someone says something different.
No, I refuse. Like, okay, we can discuss and debate Gaylor, like, until the end of time. There is no debating about Fast and Bi-Curious. Like, that just isn't. Like,
I should make t-shirts.
Yeah! It's not, I mean, when do we cross the line out of subtext? Like, do they need to kiss?
I think they would.
Like,
because, like, everything about it, like...
And you know what? If they're going to CGI Paul Walker into the end of the seventh movie, I don't see why they can't CGI the kiss.
Crazy take.
No, bitch, that's a reasonable take.
It's reasonable. I think that you're right. Like, I mean, the first movie is just, like, absolutely... Like, the tension is so palpable. Throughout the entire all of the scenes where they are racing in their cars, looking at each other through the windows, like, locking eyes.
I don't know. Like, okay. So, I might, like, check my mirrors when I drive, but, like... Have any of you ever, do you, like, lock eyes with the person next to you? Because I don't!
Not unless I wanted to fuck them.
Exactly!
Sorry.
Or was already fucking them.
Yeah.
And even then, like, I pulled up at a red light with my boyfriend and not made that much eye contact. That's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah. It's really crazy. And, like... I mean, yeah, I think the Slate article that you somehow found earlier,
you were
talking about how, like, it is interesting that, like, it is so predictable that, like, it, through the homo, like, erotic lens that we're viewing this, like, it is so funny that, like, the only girl that was kind of, like, appropriate for Brian to be able to, like, pine after was Dom's sister.
Okay. Not only that, it's Dom's sister, but also Letty, who is, like, the butchest hot woman that ever
who is a lesbian.
Yeah!
And, like, I actually like her and Dom together better than Brian and Mia. Like, Brian and Mia are not believable at all, but at least Dom and Letty slay. Like, they fucking eat the house down.
I don't know that I think Letty's a lesbian. I definitely think she's a bisexual.
100%. That is, no one would contest
that. I think that Letty and Dom have, like, comparable levels of bisexual energy, and I think that's why they work so well and they're so hot.
I agree.
Is that, like, they could fuck anyone anytime as long as you're as hot as them, and, like, oh my god, they're so hot.
They're, like, in those first few movies, like, that is, like, the couple.
I'm picturing, like, I don't remember which movie this is from, but there's some, like,
first one.
Black, is that the
in the garage?
Thing? Yes!
With the brown leather pants.
Oh, with the brown leather pants. Thank you! Like, I have brown leather pants if someone kisses me like that.
I knew you were going to say that as soon. I was like, I know the scene you're talking about. And the other one is when they're in the car in one of the short films when they're in, I think they're going to be in the DR or something, and they're driving, and she is
Yes! Like, sorry, we're gonna have to sound edit that noise.
We're gonna have to pitch that down, but that's totally fine. But yeah, like, it is, like, those are bisexuals.
They are, and they're so hot, and they're so bisexual together.
Specifically,
and maybe this is just me speaking as a bisexual woman, but, like, it's so bi and it's so hot.
It's like, I would say, like, you could, you Like, I feel like there'd be no reason for someone to contest the fact that those two are bisexuals.
Correct. And I think that's, like, why they work. Whereas, like, and Ryan and Mia
are, like, first of all, have zero chemistry.
They don't have the chemistry. And, I like, they, okay, Ryan and Mia are the version of, like, when you meet a straight couple and you're like, yeah, you're both straight, but, like, do you like each other?
I absolutely love how we are absolutely reading down these fictional characters.
Who wrote these movies?
Was it a woman? Like, I feel like a woman.
No, definitely not. Are you kidding me?
I feel like they could.
A woman did not write these movies.
You know what? I meant to say, now that I think about it for another second, these movies would have been so much more if a woman had written them.
Correct.
Can you imagine what could have been done?
Oh, I think about it all the time. Wait, I'm trying to find. I don't want the director. I want the. Well, okay. So, like, Gary Scott Thompson wrote the story for the first couple. Oh, and then, okay, some guy named Chris Morgan is a screenwriter and story writer for Tokyo Drift, Fast and Furious, which is three. No, sorry, which is four.
Four.
Fast Five, Fast Six, Fast Seven. Okay, so.
And five, four, five, and six, I think, are some of the best.
I agree. So we need to look further into Chris Morgan. Oh, my God.
What?
Do you want to know what Chris Morgan wrote?
Please tell me.
He wrote Wanted, which is the Angelina Jolie spy movie with the curved bullet.
Oh,
which is also
God.
The other most bisexual movie I've ever seen.
That is also a bisexual movie.
He produced Bird Box and The Mummy, which is...
This is a gay man.
Yeah.
The Mummy is so bisexual for reasons I can't put my finger on.
Wait, no, stop. That's a 2017
remake?
With Tom Cruise. That's very straight compared to the original Brendan Fraser.
Yeah, the original Mummy. I watched that recently for the first time with Ty, and that is a bisexual. I didn't realize until, because I had never seen the Mummy or any Brendan Fraser movies, I didn't know that Brendan Fraser used to be so hot. I didn't know that he used to be so hot.
I didn't know that he wasn't anymore until The Whale happened.
That's kind of like... The only time that Brendan Fraser was on my radar was when he came back for The Whale.
Maybe this is, like, why I like women. Who knows? But I have a vivid memory of being, like, maybe 6 years old. And after Thanksgiving, we would always have Thanksgiving at my aunt and uncle's house with all the cousins and, like, everyone extended family. And then at some point, like, the older cousins would break off and, like, watch some movie that us little ones weren't allowed to watch, right?
Ooh, okay, scandalous.
And I have a vivid memory of walking into my brother and my cousin and, like, a few of the older ones watching The Mummy. I think it was The Mummy Returns, and I don't know why I think that, but I'm pretty sure. And I remember two things. I remember, one, some scene with, like, bugs, maybe cicadas, like, crawling all over and being, like, genuinely scared shitless. And I also remember seeing Rachel Weisz and going...
She is so sexy.
Oh.
She is so beautiful and sexy and hot.
Oh.
Yes.
And then seeing immediately after that Brendan Fraser and going, oh.
They are just so beautiful in that movie.
And, like, I don't think it's a coincidence that, like, 5 years later I came out as bisexual.
That is a very bisexual making experience. But yeah, I was like, dude, like, why did no one ever tell me that Brendan Fraser used to be
so hot
and sexy?
You know what? Okay, maybe this is
like, and he was like in that movie too. He's like
so charming
and just
he's
like
so charming.
Oh, I just love him.
I still think he's hot because you know what? I respect a man who has character growth.
And yes,
I don't like really care as much. Like he was a very good looking man in his youth, and since then,
we can't be young and beautiful forever.
No,
we really can't be.
But what we can ask for is growth, and I feel like we've seen that from him, and thus he's still hot and sexy in my eyes.
I mean, yeah, like this picture, like he isn't young, but he is. Like, he's a good-looking guy.
I mean...
That's a little bit younger than he is now.
All I was going to say is that that's not dissimilar to the actual 40-year-old I dated in my 20s.
Give me a fucking break.
You know, I was going to tell my family to listen to this episode, but I think I don't know.
I can cut that out if you want. Or do you want to hear any of this?
No, I don't care about any of it. I just might not send it in the family group chat.
I mean, like, that would be crazy if you sent any of my episodes in the family group chat.
My father already listens to yours and texts me about
your
them.
Dad gets it, though. Like, he gets it.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah.
Like, he's my target. He's kind of my target audience. Oh, my God. What the fuck were we talking about?
I don't know. I'm still on Chris Morgan's Wikipedia page.
Oh, we're talking about... Yeah, that's how we got to the movie.
Because it doesn't say if he's gay.
Maybe he doesn't say if he's gay, but we know.
No, but, like, you know how, like, Wikipedia's had, like, a personal life tag?
Mm-hmm.
This one doesn't. This one only has a
No one knows anything about him?
No, this one has a filmography tab, and that's it.
Oh, damn.
Except for, ooh, this incredible line from the very end of the introductory paragraph that says, quote, he was spoofed in a video in The Onion in which he was played by a 5-year-old.
I don't even need to know any more about that. I just like knowing that.
Like, there's no personal information. But that sentence made the cut.
Whoa. Whoa.
Wow. Yeah, so he wrote a bunch of the Fast and Furiouses that are super gay, and then also wrote Hobbs and Shaw.
Oh.
Which we liked.
Which we liked. And okay, I only pulled a Brian Dom fanfic, but there is a bunch of Hobbs and Shaw fanfic. And and Shaw fanfic.
Oh, I don't like that.
I don't like
that. I'm not on board with Dom and Shaw, but like.
Wait, which one is Dom? Shaw is Jason Statham, right?
Yeah.
We
haven't had that much wine.
I haven't had a lot to drink lately.
I'm kidding. We've had enough.
So wine. I am kind of drunk.
I am a little drunk too. Yes, Jason Statham is Shaw. Because his mother is played by Helen Mirren, which, like, if you weren't already sold on watching these movies, that should have done it.
Yeah, Helen Mirren is a nice touch.
She's an incredible touch. I am not kidding you guys, like, there is a scene where Helen Mirren is drifting through London.
Actually, yeah, I forgot about that scene, and that does slay.
If that doesn't convince you, I don't know.
And she has a lot of excellent coats in that movie. She's always dressed in these beautiful furs.
Because when I dropped that detail, my dad laughed so hard he turned red a little bit.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. On Patreon, we're going to have Dan on.
Oh, yes.
For a blunt rotation, yes. Dan chat.
I also, yes, yeah, so my dad is Dan. He's the homie. What can I say?
Yeah, he gets it. He's here. He's
in
it. I still
think I want your dad on that episode too. And I think we should
patch
like,
him in.
Yes, I think we should patch him in and do like chats with dads.
I actually kind of feel like I would rather do those separately. Like we should patch him in.
Should
and
we
patch...
interview both separately?
Yeah,
I would love that.
Dad chats.
I would love that.
Because like we could get my dad lightly stoned too.
Yeah, both dads like smoke half a joint.
And, or, yes.
So, like, that's
how
about you.
How incredible would that be? So, you guys, not to tease the Patreon too bad, but when I have more than 25 listeners,
we're going
to
get it going.
We're getting there someday. Maybe I'm going to manifest and putting the vibes out into the air that we're going to launch a Patreon by the end of the year, 2024. It's only March. That's doable.
Oh, I actually think that's, like, more than doable, but maybe that's just because I have high hopes and believe in myself.
Because I kind of feel like I want to have, like, I maybe wouldn't launch a Patreon until I have like 100 subscribers.
How many do you have right now?
Like 24.
Okay. A, I think you could easily hit that before the end of the year.
Well, also, but I think B, I haven't advertised this podcast on TikTok like ever. So I'm going to try to get this one popping on TikTok.
You go viral on TikTok all the time.
I've been clouded up on TikTok lately.
Daddy TikTok is viral on TikTok.
He's giving me a little algorithm. He's like, here, would you like some views? And I'm like, yeah.
So wait, you said Daddy TikTok, and I thought you were talking about Brooke's band. Because Brooke went viral for talking about our goddamn SDG&E nightmare.
Yeah, if you guys have seen that video, it has like 10 million views.
That's
best...
my fucking roommate, and that's me paying the goddamn SDG&E bill.
Yeah, it's been all over TikTok. She's been paying the entire apartment building's utilities for the past like 2.5 years since her ex-boyfriend moved out. So that's tea. Vapestar69 on TikTok. If you want the whole story, go check Brooke out.
Yes,
okay,
please. She has a few funny ones. I mean, she has all funny ones, but like, Mia, I just mean she has more than that.
She does. That's her most recent kind of moment. Yes. So yeah. Anyway.
Sorry, I'm texting my dad that we want him on the Patreon.
I am obsessed with that. Okay, so I think we should go into...
Yeah, tell me where to start.
Let's go...
Sorry, you're going to have so much to edit.
I actually might not... I might edit very little of this. Like, this might just be a 2.5-hour episode.
I think that's solid.
I think that people might like that.
I just sent a text to my dad. Quote, just a heads up, when Olivia launches the Patreon, we want you on the pod to smoke a joint and chat. Can't wait to see.
Does your dad know what a Patreon is?
Definitely.
My dad would not know what a Patreon is.
Yeah, but Dan is like kind of, I wouldn't say he's
my dad's not even
online,
like that
but he's
old.
Like online.
Okay, your dad, yeah, that's fair.
No, my dad is like,
my dad is on the, you know where my dad stays? Instagram Reels. My
okay,
dad
so you know
stays
what?
On Reels, dude.
I don't think my dad knows what an Instagram Reel is, but I do think he knows what a Patreon is.
When I was talking To my dad when we were in Palm Springs, he was like, oh my God, I like still haven't listened to your podcast. And I was like, that's okay. Like,
don't.
I actually don't need to. I'm like,
well, it's like, okay, so like I have a group chat that is both of my parents.
He was like, I gotta listen to your and Avery's episode. And I'm like, no, you really don't, actually. It's like, okay.
He should. What's wrong with that?
I said you can listen at your own risk, but I'm just kind
well,
of like.
That's the warning for
yeah,
sure.
That's the warning is like, you can listen, but like, you can't hold anything that I say on there against me. Actually. Yeah.
Well, I mean, so, okay, before we started recording this, I was like, oh, I'll send this in the.
I was like, you might find stuff out about me that you didn't know, but you can listen. Like.
I literally was like, oh, I'll send this to my family and be like, hey, I'm on the pod this week. Like, because my dad and brother have both listened to this before.
Dad texted me about it once and I loved it.
Yes. And then I started talking about my own drug use and went, that text will come with a disclaimer that says some interesting things about me personally, but go ahead and listen if you're still interested.
I will not be accepting questions.
No, I'll accept the questions. But you better be very sure you want the answer first.
Oh my God. Okay, so I'm actually thinking that we should start with the one that I pulled from Tumblr. I found it on Tumblr because the caption said, what's up, guys? Here's my love letter to Fast and Furious. I think Dom and Brian should have fucked, end quote. And I loved the succinctness. I said, me too.
You're right.
So let's get into it. Oh, I see you in the Canva.
Is this consider the hairpin turn?
It's the hairpin turn one, yes.
Okay, perfect.
Perfect. And I really have no expectations or anything.
I really relate to this person because in the notes they put, out of all the possible fandoms I could have fallen into this semester, Fast and Furious was absolutely nowhere near my list. And yet, here we are. And you know what?
I get it. I, like, have never spent so much time on AO3. Like, I was not, like, raised in AO3. So I was interesting. I was like figuring out the culture today. Like I found out that like
oh,
I didn't know.
Rich.
I had to Google like what slash meant because they were all like,
oh my
like,
god,
Brian Dom slasher, and I'm like, what is
that's
that?
That's porn.
It's gay porn. Yes. Yes. Yeah.
So I was like very.
It's a
like,
it's a language you have to learn.
Oh yeah, I was very on Tumblr in these years.
Same.
I would say I was AO3 adjacent. Like I was very aware of it, but I was not active on it. So like horrifyingly embarrassing thing about me. Yes, I had a big Doctor Who phase. Yes, I was very active on Tumblr during that.
That was so... Listen, you can't hold that against yourself. That was the vibe at the time.
It sure was. So, like, boy, do I know my way around AO3.
Good boy, for you.
Do I wish I didn't? Also, yes.
Yeah, the notes are sending me. The people divulge so much.
Yeah, the notes on here are awesome.
Oh, there's a mood board. Can we open the mood board?
Oh, hello.
The mood board for the fic can be found here. Holy moly. That is so much more than I could have expected. Okay, the picture, in my time today, the picture of the blue jean, like the white t-shirt and the blue jeans with like the hands wrapped around the waist, like that is used in a lot of Dom Brian circles.
That is interesting.
It reminds me of the Bruce Springsteen cover.
Okay, yes, but I'm almost positive that's a man and woman.
It looks like woman's arms in the front.
It does. That's a woman's arm. That
I mean, like, it is not a real picture of them, but it is also a woman's and a man, yes. But that's
also
a lot.
Okay, so the picture that grabs my attention from this mood board...
Is it the clasped hands?
Is like...
I'm
okay,
saving this.
It's giving,
saving
how
this.
Do I describe this on mic? It's giving the kitchen scene from Anyone But You.
I've talked about the kitchen scene on this podcast, so the people know what you're about.
I know. So, like, one hand is, like, five fingers laid, and the other hand is, like, clasped in there, right? But what we need to talk about is the skin tone.
Because
to talk about is the fact that these movies are, like, convinced that Dom Toretto is a Latin American man.
It's, I mean, like, canonically he is.
No. Well, okay, yes. Canonically he
in the
is.
Movie, he is.
Vin
like,
Diesel is not.
Like, the one that you cannot tell me isn't gay is the one in the upper right. Like.
Okay, no. Okay,
they took
okay,
that picture.
Wait. I swear to God that is the same photo shoot as the birthday cake picture. They just removed their shirts.
You're right, because that he's in the same house. He's alone. He's on the hood of the car.
He's on the hood of the car. It's the same, like, hair length.
They're the same age. Like, this is when, this was in, like, the 2003
time period. That's gotta be from that actual shoot.
Where are all the pictures from that shoot?
I don't know, but we're going to find them.
Where do we find them?
I don't know, but I will find out.
We'll have to do a reverse image searching today. We're going to catfish these.
Yeah.
I've been back. Dude, I started watching Catfish again.
I love Catfish.
I haven't watched, like, the newer seasons.
No, because I don't like it once. What's Max needs?
I don't like it as much either, but I...
Like, the guests are, like, sometimes good, but I just, like... I'm not into the guest rotation style.
No, it gets to a point where they do replace... They have a new girl. Like, she's on all the time. I think her name is Cammy.
Yes. I've seen the ones with her. I like her.
I like her. I like the stories. I found, like, some of the Catfish's stories themselves to be compelling because I'm like, it is 2024 and you're telling me you are still getting catfished? Like, grow up. It's not like back in the day when on the internet people were like, could claim that they didn't know people lied on the internet. You know, we all know people lie on the internet now. How are you still falling for it?
Okay, wait, but think about this.
Is that victim blaming?
No, I think it's valid. However, I think that there are new people coming of internet age every day, and thus the naivete is permanent.
Oh, that's really astute.
So, like,
you're right.
Those of us who grew up with the internet,
I guess I assumed that kids nowadays have more, like, online literacy than we did, but why would they?
I'm sure they still do. I think they have more. Do they have enough to never, ever, once in your life be scammed? Probably not. No,
that's
because
true.
No one does.
That's true. That's true. And now it's, like, worse now that, like, what is that thing they call it? Like, sexploitation?
Yeah, and now that, like, AI is where it is, I mean, dude, fuck, right. How would you ever know?
I guess you wouldn't. Dang. Okay, so this mood board is really compelling.
This mood board is.
Consider this, if you're following along at home, this is from Archive of Our Own, titled, Consider the Hairpin Turn. Is this one straight?
I don't know, because Letty is tagged in here.
Yeah, no, like, but they
no,
have...
because, okay, no, because the relationship tags are Brian and Dom, Letty and Dom, and Brian and Mia.
Interesting. So there's some...
I don't know. We'll find out.
We'll find out. Do you want to actually, like, I love the way you read fanfic. Would you like to start us off again? Like, I was so compelled
honored.
Earlier.
I would
Thank
be
you.
Honored. Here we go. Ready, guys? Something knocks loose in Dom's chest when he sees Brian lunging for Phoenix's leg. Something warm and heavy, a lug wrench sitting in the sun.
Can you remind me who Phoenix is? Is that Charlize Theron?
Phoenix? No.
That's Cypher.
That's Cypher. Phoenix is the one who killed Letty, right? Phoenix is, like, the other bad guy.
Wait, yeah.
With the, like, faux hawk and the gun?
The faux hawk, yes.
Yeah, yes. I swear that's Phoenix.
You're right. That's Phoenix.
Okay. So let's rewind. Something knocks loose in Dom's chest when he sees Brian lunging for Phoenix's leg. Something warm and heavy, a lug wrench sitting in the sun. The last few seconds charging towards Phoenix feels good. Feels right in those painful of ways. Feels like there may be an end to all this fucking pain. Ripping the meat off him.
Ripping
the meat of him off the ribs, carnal, his body scavenging himself to lay at Letty's feet. Okay, wait,
insane.
So we're taking place at Letty's,
at
fake,
Letty's
death.
Fake death.
So as that coward goes to run away when his gun fails him, run from his penance, Dom sees Brian dive towards Phoenix and hold tight to his leg, uncaring of who exactly got hit with Dom's car. Dom sees Phoenix jerk his gaze down, disbelieving. For a split second, Dom is the same. Brian's never been one to hammer down the lid of a casket he hasn't earned. Then, he slams the car into Phoenix's body and feels it break under the hood as if his own palms. He can finally breathe. The ache of Letty's ghost under his skin seems to abate, and he lets out a deep breath as he exits the car. Phoenix's corpse is a reassurance. But that leaves little else except Brian on his mind. Brian, who just threw himself in front of a pair of charging wheels, knowing full well nothing would get Dom to stop, for the sole purpose of holding Phoenix in place so Dom could kill him. Because Brian is, historically speaking, insane. And Brian will, historically speaking, pour his entire life down the drain if it meant helping Dom.
That is so true, though. Like, that is what makes it
that's
so
the
gay.
The whole plot of the first movie.
Brian, like, literally... Okay, can I actually say something that's, like, really cursed?
Yeah.
Whenever I hear the Taylor Swift song Willow now... That is a Brian and Dom song. Because me and Brooke were joking one night about making an edit to that.
I don't even know how to process that.
It's like that, like, wherever you, like, I, what is it? What is it?
I will follow.
Where?
Yeah.
You get it.
I listened to that literally on my way.
And
from
the Every Bait and Switch was a work in art. Was a work of art. Like that's what made us think of it. Is because the end of maybe 5 or 6 when they're getting the safe off of
the safe is safe. And yes,
and they have the decoy safe. Blah, 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 blah. And Brooke jokingly said Every Bait and Switch was a work of art, and I was like, wait a second,
literally.
No, like that's their song. That's my man. That's like.
Okay,
that's Brian's POV to Dom, right?
Do you think Mother wrote that song about Fast and Furious?
We know that she is on the internet, and we know that she's gay, so she could have.
All I'm saying.
It is such a Fast and Furious song. Anyway, do you want to read to the end where the line is, and then I'll start?
Yeah, sounds good. Okay, so we left off. There we go.
Brian was poured an entire life down the drain of him and helped him.
Yeah, okay, that's right. His corpse was... There we go. This isn't anything new. Only now, with Brian bleeding out and staring up at him from the ground with something dangerously close to awe in his eyes. Jesus. After helping him murder someone, it's visible in a way that makes Dom want to writhe. Wait, fuck. I need to re-record that whole
thing. I actually don't think it makes sense even if you would have read it correctly.
Okay.
Hi.
Anyway, he heaves pressure on Brian's wounds as he props him up against a truck and kneels down beside him. Strength and sinew and sharing it all. It'll just be downhill from here, Dom knows. That warm cobbler still in his chest, turning
clobber. I was like beach cobbler? When does that come into play?
I'm confused. That warm clobber. Well, you know what? I'm not less confused.
It doesn't make sense still, yeah.
That warm clobber still in his chest, turning his ribs to kindling. This isn't the first time he's looked at Brian's thunderstorm loyalty and wanted to own it. But it is the first time he reaches out and grabs it. A two-handed grip. I ain't running anymore, he tells Brian. There's a thrum in Dom's chest at the look on Brian's face, too desperate to hope. He yanks off his cross, then pulls the chain in Brian's palm. That's sustenance.
Is he dead? No, he
can't. Who cares? This particular fic seems to take place after... What? This one takes place at right... After 3/4?
Yeah, when they're running with Braga.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So okay, mm-hmm. So let's take it from the line break. Because it's from Dom's point of view, it seems. Okay. The thing about Brian generally is that he seems to be as good reading it as you are.
Wait.
You have like such a good voice for it.
Oh, I skipped a line break, that's where it is. I think you have a great voice for it, but also I'll continue reading if you want.
No, I want to read it, okay. But I just like don't capture the feeling the same way you do.
I disagree.
Thank you. Thank you so much. The thing about Brian, generally, is that he seems to be a lot more alive than anyone else. Dom noticed this years ago, probably when Brian first... Why can I not read?
Because this isn't worth reading.
Probably when Brian rushed headfirst at the cops, dead certain he'd get them out of the drag racing raid safe and sound. It comes back to him on the drive down to the border after Dom's recent liberation from the prison transport.
Okay, so this is after 4.
After 4. With the hot afternoon sun turning Brian's skin peachy and his eyes an unsettling fervid blue. That's like a really good
word. It's giving Dune.
I don't like any of it.
I don't like any of it, but the fervid blue?
Fervid is giving Dune.
It's giving Dune.
He burns, furious and brutal, like a can of Nas 10 seconds to the finish line. Particularly rising with intensity every second he's awake. It's easy for Dom to understand why Brian's so lonely. It's hard for anyone to keep up with him. Sure, he's good at making friends because he's good at pretending... He's only slightly more wired than the guy on his left because he's the best goddamn liar Dom knows. What does that even mean, actually? He's only slightly more wired than the guy on his left. I don't know. Brian is a...
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It's just sometimes I like to ask questions and not answer. There's something really beautiful about that. But Brian is in a well of ferocity in a way that is nearly impossible to imagine. In a way that means he forgets that not everyone would burn their life to ashes because the ache in his blood that he calls love told him to do so. Because he can't fathom ever feeling smaller or lesser or muted. Because he is so untemperable. Because for the first time, Dom thinks he may have found someone with enough raw intensity to handle the charger the way his father did.
Okay, past the time that Olivia had a Dodge Charger rental car and we took it for a joyride.
And the joyride was going like 45 miles an hour on the Pacific Coast Highway.
It was 2 years before we watched The Fast and the Furious.
It wasn't. I was like, this is such a stupid car, and it still is. I hated driving that fucking thing, and I hated parking it. I had to park it on the street.
A Dodge Charger is the stupidest car.
It's the stupidest car you could possibly have. Anyway, I need to reread that line again, though, because I didn't do it the right way. John thinks they may have found someone with enough raw intensity to handle the Charger the way his father did. He's deceptively pretty, Brian is. Seems like he'd be all beachside grins and slow bank. So, what the fuck? Slow blinks and docility. But Don likes this side of him better, cruising an easy 90 down a dusty highway with a hand on the stick, still vibrating from the come down of adrenaline. A live wire snapping with sparks. Live wire shout out. The bar across the street.
Also, like, maybe this is just a speeders thing, but, like, I can't relate to feeling relaxed going 90.
No.
Like,
these guys live in the 90, though.
I am actively...
90's, like, slow for them, I think,
it
probably.
Is. Like, I am someone who actively likes to drive. Like, driving is...
You love to drive way more than I love to drive.
I do. Like, it's one of my, like, relaxing activities. Like, sometimes I will just take a drive. Like, I love to drive, and my car is a stick. Like, I love to drive.
You do. That's something about us that differs.
However, I have never once in my life driven at 90 miles an hour and thought, this is relaxing.
This is so nice. Like, 75,
no, bitch,
80.
At 90, I am stressed.
I'm scared. I'm always stressed when I'm driving, and that makes sense why I don't have a car.
You were parked when you got hit. That's not fair.
Yeah, but there's a reason that I'm, like, so okay with not having a car.
True.
It's because I actually didn't like it that much.
And for me, like, I couldn't last without a car. Like, literally, my car needed
to be 12 hours. Well, I really like that you have a car.
I also like, I like it because I like driving you around.
I am the passenger princess.
Yes.
Forever and ever and ever.
Yes.
Okay, line break. You want to take it from here?
Sure.
This one's kind of long, so. How long is this fanfic?
We're going to keep going.
Holy shit.
Ready?
I'm so ready.
Do you two know each other? Braga asks. The dim lights in the club keep flickering, and Dom feels it in his temples, hyper aware of Brian's eyes tracking him from the pool table and the second he comes into eyesight. The tension between them is dark and deep and almost liquid. Oil, maybe. That shit that explodes under pressure. And Braga asked if they knew each other. Letty kind of loved Brian, in the way that Dom's abuelo grew to love the half-starved mutt that hung around his old house and begged for any food or love to spare. Brian stumbled his way into the shop, scraggy and sharp and graceless, a wrecking ball to the knees and glass dust on the wind, and Letty grinned and said, I like him. When Dom usually dreams, he dreams of her bleeding out on the pavement, her car's wrecked frame crushing her body, her eyes frantic as a nameless, faceless shadow stalks forward with a gun. But sometimes he dreams of her working in the garage, laughing at Brian, following Dom around like a puppy, ruffling his hair and slapping Dom on the ass, telling him to treat his boy a little nicer when Brian fucked up and forgot to tighten the oil pan drain belt again.
You really should do, like, voice acting work.
Fun fact about me, I actually once recorded an audiobook for my mom.
You, like, actually, like, you, like, you,
it.
You, like, nail it.
I love it. Yeah. He needs to learn. He can take it, Dom told her. Right, I forgot. Letty smirked back. You know what he can take better than anybody? She never minced her words when it came to Brian and Dom. Then again, when had she ever? Do you two know each other? He watches Brian snort to himself, rueful, glancing down at the rim of his beer and looking for all the world like he wouldn't be surprised if Dom said no. Dom knew Brian Spillner inside and out, knew him like the grease under his nails, knew him like the bones of the Supra the two of them breathed life back into, blood and sweat mingling. Dom knew the way Brian Spillner cocked his head like a damn bird when he goaded Vince into a fight. Knew how he liked driving fast in the city, because his nerve was unreal and in traffic he was brilliant and insane and impossible to touch. Knew the way he looked up at Dom with eyes like he'd let Dom do anything to him. Knew him like an organ taken out of his guts, like there was a lanky shadow hollow near his liver labeled Brian Earl Spillner. Dom didn't know who the fuck Brian O'Connor was.
Okay, so now I'm confused because he would have only known him as
Spillner
Brian Spillner in that first movie. His identity was revealed at the end. And so when does this fic take place? Because they're
talking- I still maintain it takes place after 4, and that's a plot hole.
That makes sense. Can I be honest? I'm bored. This one's boring. We need something.
Can we skip to the? Can we skip to the?
Can we skip to the good part?
Wah, 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 wah. Yeah, let me scroll through a little bit.
Because this person like really put effort and detail in, and I respect that. But
no,
I
like they do like have some chops, but I'm like not like grabbed yet.
Like I respect you for writing all this out, but like, where do they fuck?
Maybe they don't fuck in this one. They don't fuck?
Uh-uh.
There's a kiss.
Wait, what?
Yeah, there's kissing at the end.
Hold on.
Yes, there's sex at the end. There's smut at the end of this. It's like at the very end.
Oh, hello. Oh. Oh, okay. Okay.
It's
okay,
kind of crazy. I'm into this. Okay, so where should we... I think we should start maybe, like...
Wait. I'm into
this. The end actually seems pretty good. Okay, here we go. Where's the the last line break? Okay, it's... What happens?
Here we go. It's dark when they pull into a motel.
That's where I was going to start, too.
Tego and Rico split away 15 miles back, so it's just Dom, Brian, and...
Can we switch back and forth every paragraph? I feel like that would give some... No, like, you go this one, but then we're going to... Sure. Do, like, popcorn style. Good. Like, okay. Fourth grade.
It's dark when they pull into a motel. Tego and Rico split away 15 miles back, so it's just Dom, Brian, and Mia. They eat together, Mia saying grace and gripping both their hands so tight, Dom's scared the imprints from her nails won't ever leave his skin. He catches Brian's eye after the prayer, and Brian winces good-naturedly in commiseration, but he's rubbing his thumb over the marks and seems entirely too pleased. So Dom decides Brian's full of shit and raises an eyebrow back.
The shower feels like he's being reborn. Fuck, he'll never complain about crappy motel water pressure again, not when this is possibly the best rinse he's ever had. When Dom comes out to dig through his bag for clothes, towel around his waist, he finds Brian and Mia talking by the door.
He doesn't catch what Brian tells her, but Mia gives him a hug and a kiss on the cheek. I need to shore up some alibis with my friends, she calls to him. I'll see you tomorrow morning.
Part of Dom wants her to stay, the two of them in Dom's eyesight, so he knows they're safe. But she's looking frazzled, and Dom knows his sister well enough to tell when she needs some space. Right, good night, he says. Love you.
Love you, she says back. Both of you. Good night.
And with that, Mia's gone, leaving Dom and Brian alone. Dom, oh, okay, this is where it starts.
Hello.
We should have skipped this part all along.
Hello.
Dom wonders, I don't even care how we got here or why.
It doesn't matter.
Dom wonders if Brian knows what he looks like when he... Oh, God. Brian wonders if Brian knows what he looks like when he bites his lips, eyes ping-ponging all over Dom. Wonders if Brian knows he's biting his lips at all.
You want a shower? Dom says, just to break the silence.
Yeah, Brian responds after a stretch. Yeah, sure. He shrugged off his jacket at some point during the night, and he looks more dangerous without it. Lean muscle and scars on display.
Once Brian's in the bathroom and Dom's dressed and decent, he collapses onto the nearest bed, staring up the waterlogged ceiling, trying to figure out what the fuck he's doing.
Letty's dead. Letty's dead, and he didn't think he could ever let go of her, but he's coming to realize Brian's burrowed himself into Dom's nerves long before he and Letty ever decided to have a real go at it. Devoted. Who's he kidding? Who's he kidding? Brian taught him what devotion looked like.
He feels like a sinking ship. Letty's dead. Jesse's dead. Leon cut all contact. He told Han to get lost, and Han has. Vince won't look back. Oh, sorry, I thought they were just mixed up Vin and Dom. Vince won't look in his direction if Brian's behind him, and Mia just threw away her life to go on the run with him. With him and with the man who chained himself to him. Because God knows an anchor would never dare unchain herself from her ship, and Brian has no idea how in over his head he is, how close he is to drowning. But he doesn't seem to have a care in the world as long as Dom's the one he's dying for. It makes Dom hunger.
Brian comes out of the bathroom clothed in damp, and it just spills out of Dom. Why are you here?
Brian blinks twice, startled, before he slips onto his cool face. Meal ticket, always, always. Oh, why? You get bored of my pretty face already?
I know you never fucking think, but you realize how big of a leap this is, running away from your entire life?
What life? Brian laughs.
Brian, Dom starts, but he's interrupted yet again.
What life? The only person who gives a single shit about me other than you and Mia is in Miami, and I was handing the FBI excuses to fire me every other week. The last time I felt anything like happy was when we were racing that asshole with the Ferrari and the Supra. That was 6 goddamn years ago, Dom.
Our Supra. It rings in Dom's head.
6 years ago. And you think you'll find it with me again?
I know I will, Brian responds. Then unlike any normal human being, he bounces onto the foot of Dom's bed twice before turning to stare at him. His eyes look like someone has hollowed out a bird. I feel like this person should write actual books.
Yeah,
like,
but also what the fuck?
But also maybe not. I felt more alive in the past week with you than the past year I've spent at the FBI. And I ain't letting that go.
Dom groans and rubs a hand over his face.
Unless, he starts, his voice just barely cooler, unless you want me gone.
Sit your ass back down, Dom says. You think I want you gone? You rebuilt my dad's car. You drove that car straight into a maximum security prison transport to bring me out of jail. You think I want you to leave? You gave me my goddamn freedom back. Twice.
Well, what else was I supposed to do? Brian says, and that settles it. Dom's got no clue what sort of choice Brian made or how badly this will explode in their faces. But he gave Brian an out, and Brian blew right past it, and now he's never fucking letting him go.
Nothing, Dom replies. You do nothing else but come back to me. Every time. He feels hyper-aware of his pulse, thrumming just underneath his skin, light on the gleaming edge of a car hood. The brutal scrape of rubber burning against asphalt. His hand on the shift, his life on the line.
Well, if you're just going to state the obvious, Brian rolls his eyes.
O'Connor, Dom says, reaching forward and sliding his fingers through the hair on the back of Brian's head. If you think anything about you is obvious, you need to get your head checked.
And it isn't like that isn't true. Brian's the best liar he's ever met. But the one flaw in the system every time. Obvious to you, Brian says, not anyone else.
Dom grins, then pulls Brian in. Brian kisses like he drives. And ain't that fucking familiar?
It's fast. He blinks, and he's got a lap full of Brian O'Connor mouthing down his throat. The feeling of a hard body against his, tall and distinctly masculine, throws him off for all of a second before he realizes he'll never recover from the sight of Brian's Adam's apple bobbing like rapids off the edge of a cliff into a reservoir below, enough to drink up. What are they even goddamn talking about? After that, he tells himself to get with the goddamn program and loses himself in Brian, who's practically gold in the low light, scraping the edge of his teeth down Dom's chest and beautifully responsive when Dom's hand starts to wander.
Dom blows him against the bed, then fucks him into the mattress with lotion from the motel bathroom. Brian's grinning the grin of a man diagnosed with insanity of the poorly concealable sort. And Dom's got no clue why that makes him come harder than he has in a good while, other than the general ataxia of common sense he calls Brian. They collapse onto each other, onto the other clean bed afterwards, sweat drying on the skin. I think I'd have beat anyone who tried that with me before you, Dom says, almost helplessly, before Brian pulls himself into Dom's arms.
Nah, I'd have gotten to him first, Brian sighs. You're driving tomorrow.
Such a sacrifice. Letting me drive my own goddamn car, Dom says dryly. He's quiet for a minute, letting the silence spool sweet and heavy between them. Then, I've got some friends in the Dominican, back from our first rodeo. I'm thinking we head west, then catch a boat across the Gulf.
Sounds good, Brian responds, finally tempered, just the slightest bit. And Dom was the one to do it. The thought has his breath shortening all over again.
Yeah? Dom looks down at the absolute madman lying on his chest, docile as anything. For Dom, Brian had bared his throat and let himself be prey. For Dom, he let himself be devoured. By Dom, he would let himself be devoured. He welcomed it. Hell, he's the only one who gave Dom the knife. You haven't even asked what we'll be doing there.
Let me take a wild guess, Brian says. Racing?
Well, shit. How'd you know?
And Brian starts laughing like there's gasoline in his veins, sin wearing a smile, perfect. Fingers that Dom has seen digging through an engine, pulling a trigger, wrapping around a man's leg to be of any help as Dom killed. Oh, wrapping around a man's leg to be of any help at all as Dom killed. That's a tie back to the beginning. Okay. They reach up and loop around Dom's neck. I know you, Brian says, because he does. Ride or die, baby.
Ride or die, baby.
That was like, it's a bummer that this isn't a video podcast because that one needed my facial expressions in it.
I was so focused on my screen. I wasn't even paying attention to your facial expressions. I love reading out loud.
I was gagged. I like.
Can you tell?
Well, what's interesting is that like, we've never just like sat down together in my living room to read gay smut together.
No, because that's not like a usual activity.
No, and so it's kind of like, I'm like, I'm not used to this.
It's fun and hot. Hot take from Montana. Reading Gay Smut with your friends is fun and hot.
You guys should give it a shot.
You should try it sometime. I'm going to go home and masturbate.
Okay.
Okay, what are we going to get onto next? Or should we analyze that?
Should we? I mean, yes. I think we should. So that one...
That one, I feel like, is a real homage to, like, what we glean from the Fast and Furious.
I agree with you. I think that this person's on the exact same page as us.
I agree. It's all about the tension and the yearning. Mm-hmm. The yearning is there.
It's so much yearning. Like, mm-hmm. I wasn't even going to be mad if they didn't fuck on that, because there was enough yearning to hold over.
Agreed. Agreed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, like, these movies aren't homoerotic because it's men kissing. They're homoerotic because it's men yearning.
Yes.
And this was yearning.
This was yearning. It was good, old-fashioned, cold, hard yearning. Okay, let's see. Let's try Never Leave Home Again.
Can't wait.
Since we want to save that the other one for last.
I'm loving the popcorn reading, too.
Should we do it again that way? Back and forth like
yes,
that?
Yes, we should. Okay. But also, speaking of which, apologies to the listeners, because I am eating popcorn while we listen to this.
Whatever. Whatever, dude. No one pays us for this. When people start paying us to do this,
we'll up the quality.
Then we won't eat popcorn. But until then, like, we're going to eat popcorn. Oh, I linked us to chapter 2, I think, because...
I think I'm on the front page.
Are you on the front page?
Of Never Leave Home Again?
Yeah, Brian knows he's in trouble the moment he hears the motorcycles in the distance.
Oh, no. Well, no, I am on chapter 2.
Or for some reason, the link I did, like,
there we go.
Chapter 2. Okay. This is another long one. So, yeah, this one, I skimmed this earlier, and it seems like this one takes place that first night. Or no.
Yeah, this is, like, when they first meet, it looks like.
Yeah, it happens, like... Oh, in chapter 2, they just found out he's a cop.
Okay.
So that, I don't know if this is, like, you know, canonically accurate. And I don't care. And hey, I don't give a fuck.
Wait, but let's... Okay, there's no... I'm looking for the sex.
Are you control-effing cock?
No, but maybe that would be faster.
Is this just going to be, like, I have a feeling this might just be, like, the slowest
this
burn
might be
ever.
A really slow burn, because, like, nothing happens through chapter 4. But it's not, is it tagged slow burn? Oh, we're not on AO3.
No, we're on fanfiction.net. Fanfiction.gov, actually.
Okay, I never got into fanfiction.net, but I was an AO3.
I haven't been on fanfiction.net before either. Okay, so Brian is injured, is what I'm getting from this. He got beat up or something. I think he got beat up by the Little Saigon crew. I think that's what happened.
Okay.
And he got beat up by the Little Saigon crew, and now Dom is taking care of him. A classic setup.
You are going to have to edit out my chewing.
It's okay. I'm going to edit out all this silence. I'm not going to subject people to the silence of us just reading through this 10-chapter fanfic. I don't know if I told the listeners, but we are reading on fanfiction.net, Never Leave Home Again by Verdret. It's so fucking long. This is like a novel.
Like, mad respect to this author, but...
They did
but
something
also,
here.
Holy shit.
Someone cooked here, okay? They were cooking.
Okay, wait, there's 19 chapters.
Jesus fucking Christ. I'm control-effing this shit.
Yeah, me too. Okay, by 14, they're kissing. Hold
oh
on,
God.
Let's go back.
Oh my God, 14,
okay,
Jesus.
Okay, hold on, let's go back. 13.
13? Okay, because now I'm at the part where, like, he's back undercover. Like, Brian's back as an undercover
cop. No, yeah,
cop,
go to 13.
Chapter 9.
And okay. Scroll down.
Like, I'm, like, trying to keep the plot in check here, as if that matters literally at all.
I'm not, because the plot isn't important in the movies, let alone the fan fiction.
It's so real. That's so true. Okay. Chapter 13, are you at the beginning?
The end.
The end. Okay.
I got until Wednesday, though, he says quickly, because at least there's that. And he may or may not be using the mostly packed duffel bag as a visual aid. He's still packing stuff. He's still staying a little while. It's just not what they originally planned.
I ain't your keeper, Brian. You don't answer to me. Coming from anyone else, it would sound harsh, but from Dom and to Brian, it's a reassurance. I have to widen my window. It's cutting it off. Brian's not used to being coddled, not used to having people that really care one way or the other. And the fact that Dom's willing to give a little, meet him halfway, the fact that he's not expecting him to change all that in a couple days, that's a relief Brian really needed. So would you stop skulking around and hurry up? We got places to be.
The last little bit catches Brian a little off guard, and he turns around to see Dom smiling at him, the one that says he's having a laugh at Brian's expense. And Brian's actually totally okay with that, because he thinks if Dom can put a damper on his protective streak, he can manage to put one on his ego.
Yeah, yeah, keep your pants on, Brian grumbles, the last thing off his table before zipping up his bag and meeting Dom at the doorway.
Dom's still smiling. Never thought I'd hear that coming from you.
You're an asshole.
And you're a pain in the ass, Dom says. Guess that works out pretty well.
It's Brian's turn to smile, and as he shoulders his bag and leads the way out the door, yeah, I guess it does. Pain in my ass, he says again as Brian takes them, but he's still smiling as he shakes his head. As much as he sounds exasperated, he sounds...
Brian can't resist. He shovels right up to Dom and lays one on him, then leans back with a wide grin and a wink. You know you love it.
Is this really the first time they kiss in this fic?
I think so, and it slays.
It does slay. And it isn't until air forces them apart that they stop.
Brian's face feels like it's on fire when they do. Shit, his whole body does. And he doesn't know how much of it's Dom and how much of it's, well, Dom. You know, we're never going to make it to the garage at this rate. Not that he's complaining, because believe him, he's not.
Dom presses their heads together, their noses brushing, and rests a firm hand on Brian's hip. It ain't going anywhere, he says, and his voice is low. Brian feels it rumble pleasantly in his chest before the intoxicating feeling of Dom's lips recapturing his drowns everything else out.
Looks like they aren't going anywhere, either. At least, not for a while. These people have all built, like...
Such
world.
The like, world building is insane.
Holy shit.
The
amount of dedication that has gone into this Fast and Furious fanfiction is crazy.
I can't believe this is 19 chapters long, and it took us to the end of chapter 13 before they even kiss, you know what I mean? And I don't know how much of this...
I mean, the moral of the story is that, like, there is deep yearning between Dom and Brian.
There is, and everyone gets it.
Yeah.
The girl is on fanfiction.net, get it.
Wasn't there another one?
There was another one that was the one who started at the beginning, repeated offense.
Oh, yeah.
Or offense. I don't know if they, like, misspelled it or if it's supposed to be offense.
No, they misspelled it.
Okay. Okay, this one is,
I kind of want to read more of this one because it's pretty bad.
You want to read? It's a good length. It's just like a little guy.
Here we go. Repeated offense. It's wrong, but it's right. It's irrational, but logical. It's crazy, but balanced. It's miserable, but blissful. Opposing opinions are common, and different people may describe it in different ways. But what cannot be disputed is that it is a secret, and it is reoccurring.
Every time they're in close proximity, under the same roof, just a measly room away, and everyone is asleep, it's well into the night when that seemingly supernatural gravity works overtime, waking them and filling them with the need to slip out of bed smoothly and soundlessly, and pass through the doorway leading out of the rooms that keep them away from one another.
This phenomenon, this concept, this situation started that day of the vault and heist in the matte black charger they drove away from Hobbs in. It's astounding how entwined Dodge Chargers are with their lives. Dom had closed his door. Brian pressed the pedal, and they roared their way off that bridge together.
The adrenaline was washing out of their systems. The event of hauling their ticket to freedom was rolling through their minds. How in sync they were, how precise their driving was, knowing how wide or how tight the other was going to take a turn, how they just knew what speed to stay at to ensure the tension of the connecting cords were even. When Brian reared the back of his car into that safe as Dom continued to drag it, Brian could easily judge the path Dominic was going to use to make the next left turn.
On the ride back to the team, Brian took an off-course turn into an alley. Once they were further from the commotion and stopped the car. He knew it was foolish as they needed to get back, split up the money, and start their free lives, but he just wanted to stop for a second, and he didn't know why. Until Dom called his name. It wasn't even a question, just something to get his attention. Not even questioning why they're there, because he just knows. Knows why they're there before Brian can place why he brought them to that alley, away from everything else.
He looks to his passenger at his name being called, his passenger princess.
Of course.
It's an unusual sight, usually being the other way around. Dom hasn't been the passenger since Brian got him away from that prison bus in a charger. The charger. He was the head of that plan. He was calling the shots when it was getting Dom back. And even though he is in the driver's seat in this charger, in this alley, it's Dom back in the lead and Brian is backing him 100%, as he always will be.
Their eyes locked. Dom was leaning on the center console, and Brian mimicked him.
This is a good one.
A strong hand came up to grab the back of a tan neck, brushing short blonde hair. Brian felt Dom pulling him forward, and he followed without hesitation.
Lips brushed against lips warily, like giving in to this feeling would cause buildings in the vicinity to crumble, creating a ripple effect that would spread throughout the world.
But even if it did, they wouldn't have noticed a thing. What was first hesitant became more forceful, determined. It was like spreading out on the hood of a car after a good run, the smooth surface of hot from the running motor. The heat surrounded them in their own little world sitting in that alley.
But that little world expanded to wherever they happened to be when nobody else was around.
6 months later and nothing has changed. The intensity has not died down and the feeling is still the same.
Brian woke at some odd hour in the night, sliding out from bed, sliding out from soft sheets in Mia's side. He silently left the room and walked out the front door to the beachside house. He occupied a chair on the small porch and stared out at the ocean, waves crashing against the sand without abandonment, tide being affected by the moon's pull. How relatable. Dom is the moon and Brian is the tide.
Dom is the moon and Brian is the tide.
She tattooed that on my ass.
This person fucking nailed it.
This person gets it.
That's the dynamic. That's the willow of it all.
That is the willow of it all. So we're going to watch the safe one after this, right?
We kind of have to.
Yeah.
That one is so good.
So
it does anyway. Their eyes always meet, whether the light of the moon reflecting off the water is bright or dull, luminous or barely there, they always meet. Tonight, half a moon sits in the sky, enough for Dom's small quirk of his lips into a smile to be seen. Enough for that same blanket they used to toss over the white sand to be visible from its place in Dom's grip. Enough for the twinkle in Brian's blue eyes to shine out.
No, I really relate to this author in the idea that, like, if you just put more commas in, you can make a sentence as long as you want.
And I'm kind of eating it up. Like, I love a run-on sentence. It's like slam poetry.
I really relate to No words are exchanged. No words needed to be exchanged.
As Dom breaks eye contact and starts off towards the waves, sliding up and down the shore repeatedly. Once again, how relatable.
Like many times before, Brian has left the choice to follow or not, and he has not once failed to follow.
A beat of Mia passes through their minds.
Brian loves Mia, and that has never diminished, except he doesn't.
Except literally.
Nothing has changed in their relationship, and he is still ecstatic about them having a child together. So,
okay, this takes place in a different time.
This takes place in the one...
In a different timeline.
I mean, like, is this when they fled to that island that has no extradition this when she was pregnant?
This has to be.
Before they went to go do another, like, government mission or whatever?
It has to be, because it's after four, but pre-baby.
These are emotions that are known by Dom. He knows full well Brian's feelings for his sister, and he wouldn't want that to change. Fortunately or unfortunately, it doesn't stop Brian from rising from that chair, doesn't stop him from going down the few steps leading him off the porch, doesn't stop him from making a second set of tracks in the sand right next to Dom's path, leading to the all-familiar blanket draped over the tiny grains, his trademark grin in place. None of it stops Dom from letting out a low chuckle of satisfaction as Brian drops down next to him. Dom's hands find bare hips, having climbed up low-rising pants and slithered under the hem of a shirt, moving them up a smooth back, caressing, and over shoulders where they grab tightly before stroking back down to rest on the small of Brian's back, fingertips just under his waistband. I'm going crazy. Smiling pairs of lips part when Brian pulls his knees up to Dom's hips, allowing enough space for his hands to push up the unwanted fabric and do their own roaming over defined abs and a strong chest. He feels Dom's lip press a kiss into his hair, always the epitome of caring, and wants his own find. Oh, I can't read, actually. I'm so stupid. He feels Dom's lips.
He feels Dom's lips
press a kiss into his hair, always the epitome of caring. Once his own find an awaiting neck. There we go. It's the pronouns that are really the his and what, like, it's really.
It's not you, it's this writing.
The writing is really crazy. I mean, they need to read more fanfiction.
Yeah, it's not you, it's the writing. Moonlight soon replaces clothes. Mirth not once escaping.
That's kind of a good line.
And waves rhythmically pull away and back in.
Every time they are together, it is like two tornadoes heading towards each other, forming together where no other force will pull them apart. An occurrence that happens again and again and again, but is never any less intense.
Of course, neither of them are naive enough to think light will never be shed on their relationship. A relationship that could be looked at as a crime, what with them both betraying someone they love. And while many would feel uncomfortable, perhaps even distressed, describing their own scenarios as a crime, Dom and Brian are different. After all, they are excellent at being criminals.
End scene. The end of the author's note is so funny. It says, this is so-so for me, but I will be immensely happy if just one person likes it. So tell me what you think. Now let's see if I can get back to work on my Glee fic. Did anyone comment on it? If they didn't get any comments, I'd be like, I need to do it.
I don't know if I can't see the comments or if there aren't any, but I don't see any.
Do I need to make an account?
That's what I don't know.
I'm going to put... Should I put...
She's like, holy shit, do you want to be on my podcast?
When did this come
out? When did it what?
This is from November 5th, 2011. This is so crazy.
Hey, author Akuro13, if you see this, like, please,
for the love of God,
reach out to us, because, like, I want to talk to you more than anyone in the world, please.
This is, okay, I'm on their profile right now. Author has written 19 stories for Naruto, Bones, Beth, Glee.
Wait, they made Bones fanfic? I love Bones.
Ouran High School Host Club, Fast and the Furious, Transformers, and Criminal Minds. Multidisciplinary.
Okay, this is like 10 out of 10 someone I would be friends with. Wait, where's the Bones fanfic? I want to know who that paired. Are you looking at
the Bones?
Yeah!
What is it? I've never watched Bones, but that's from the Emily Day show, right?
Yeah, it is. And this is like, this is the show that made me want to be a forensic anthropologist when I was a kid, because I had a weird fascination with death.
You did love death.
This is a Booth, Sweets, and Brennan fic? Question mark? No, it's just Booth and Sweets. It's the FBI agent and the psychologist. Okay. Who are, like, both, like, beloved characters.
Ah!
I keep getting suggested the Bones subreddit, and I feel like I might need to get back into it as a show. Because apparently they, like, kept it going way longer than they should have, and, like, she eventually has a baby and some shit. I don't know. All I know is that I gotta watch that. I am. You just made a face. What did you see?
Oh, nothing. I thought I stopped recording, but I didn't. We're all good.
I'm just scrolling through more. There's a TMNT Fast and Furious.
What's TMNT?
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, baby.
Oh.
This one is a Transformers and Fast and Furious.
Transformers?
Mm-hmm. Should we get into Transformers next?
I actually, like...
I don't know that I can because of, like... knowing about Megan Fox.
Yeah.
Like, knowing how horribly she was treated on those sets, I'm like, it's hard to enjoy.
And I also just, like, for some reason, like, I would give them a try, but I, like, wouldn't expect myself to like them.
Well, bitch, that's what I thought about Fast and Furious. I like this one. The tags are Deckard Shaw OC, Deckard Shaw OC character, and then Toretto family in general.
In general.
And the bio says, this is just some weird idea that popped into my head after seeing Furious 7. What if the Toretto's had another sister that had gotten romantically involved when everything with Owen happened? Deckard OC, I, as always, own nothing. Seriously, this is just an idea that wouldn't leave me alone. And bitch, if that isn't like I relate to,
I'm gonna exclude crossovers. Okay, I found an article that I'm reading. It's on this website called thefilmexperience.net.
Yeah.
It's from 2021, and it is titled The Gay Fantasia of the Fast Series.
Yeah, baby!
And the opening line, this is by Christopher James, it opens with, the men race cars because they can't...
Yeah.
They also, this is exactly what I was saying, they also sleep with the other sister because that's the only way they can be family. And then I'm like,
this is true.
No franchise has morphed and changed more than the Fast and Furious franchise. Also, no other franchise has been as homoerotic. This isn't a new observation.
This is so true.
This person's smelling.
This is so well written.
This isn't a new observation, but it still needs to be shouted from the rooftops. Now that F9 is available to buy, buckle up, grab a bucket of Corona, and have the binge of your life.
I can't believe you and I need to plan a girls' trip to Neptune's Neck.
We have to go there.
Because when I stopped there, I like was overwhelmed by this feeling of like, I don't know why this is special, but it's special.
For the listeners, Montana sent me this picture. You were driving up to the Bay Area a couple weekends ago. You sent me this picture of this restaurant, and you said, look where I stopped. And I saw the picture as, like, the preview, and I was like, I don't know where the fuck she is. And I open it up, and I'm like, oh, my God, that's the restaurant where they buy shrimp in the first Fast and Furious movie. And it's also where fucking Johnny Utah always is in Point Break as well. Mm-hmm. It's well, which is the same movie, so it makes sense that they went to the same seafood restaurant. But we need to go there.
And like
it's in Malibu, right?
It's in Malibu. I was on this road trip and I just like stopped at a truly random point where like there was a turnoff on the road and the coast looked pretty. And I said, I'm going to get out here, stretch my legs and take a picture and get back in the car. And I turned around and I was like, damn, this restaurant is so cute. And I took a little Polaroid of it. And then I took, and then I stopped and I was like, no, this restaurant is like too cute. Like this restaurant is something. And I don't know what it is, but it's something. And so I took a couple pictures on my phone and I was like, I don't know why this has this effect on me, but I know that this is important.
It is such a culturally important destination.
And I get to my hotel that night at like 11 p.m. and I'm like, I don't know why that was important, but it was. And I just Google Neptune's Net famous.
It's so this is saying it was also in People Like Us, So Little Time, Gossip Girl, and The Hill.
Yeah, it's been in a bunch of
shit. Yeah.
I recognized it from nothing. I just went, this is important and I don't know why. And then Google tells me it's been in everything we've ever seen, namely The Fast and the Furious and Point Break. And I immediately text Olivia and I go, holy shit, look where I stopped.
And I said, no way. I knew as soon as I laid eyes on it, I said, that's it. Because that scene from the first Fast and Furious movie is burned into my mind when they peel in to the...
Yes.
To, like, off the highway into there, and...
That's where I was.
That's iconic. That's
literally where I was, and I didn't even know it.
Wow. We gotta go there. We could do that in a day. Easy.
Oh, yeah. No, we could go for, like, a late lunch, early supper.
Yeah, get a t-shirt or something.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Because, like, I hit the road at noon, and I hit that at probably, like, 3 p.m. Maybe a little longer. Maybe 4.
Slay.
Yeah, no, it's, like,
and I'm hanging out in Malibu, too, so we could just go hang out.
We should do a little Malibu day.
We should do a Malibu day.
We have a place in San Clemente.
You can go to the house, too, in L.A.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, the family house or whatever.
I did not know that.
You can go there. Oh, and, oh my god, I'm looking right now on movie locations.
Should do that because
we should go. Should we go on a tour of the house? Because they also, there's this place, Bob's Market.
No way.
Is the Toretto's Market in the movie. It's in Echo Park. We kind of like have to go do a Fast and Furious tour of Los Angeles. We're simply too close to not.
And Brooke and I really want to do, so they have the set from
Echo Park,
Desperate Housewives. Like the street, Wisteria Lane is on the lot, I don't know which one, is on the whatever at Universal in LA. And so Brooke and I want to go tour Desperate Housewives.
I want to come
and
too, just for
you
the vibes.
I should do Fast and Furious.
Oh my god, yes.
Let's call it.
Do we have any final thoughts?
Oh, final thoughts.
Let's wrap this thing up. Let's wrap it up.
Okay. Go for it.
I'm ready for you to start.
Okay. I mean, okay, so like my final thoughts are basically that Dom and Brian love and yearn for each other and like simply can't be together in the midst of like the early 2000s homophobia, and thus we get yearning. And I will be damned if I think that a better story is not told off yearning versus like an actual love story.
You are spot on with that. It's the fact that it is subtext makes it more powerful.
It does, because like you get to project onto these characters and go like, I understand this feeling of like wanting and loving.
And because I don't think they wrote it for us to interpret it that way.
Who cares?
Like, no, but like I love that that's like such a widely accepted like headcanon and like subplot of the movie. But like we know that people who made this movie like did not intend for it to be that way, and that makes it even better.
Correct.
Like some of the smallest throwaway lines pack the biggest punch.
Yeah, they do, because it's all in like it's all in how Dom and Brian interact with each other, which is so familiar from step one. Like from the minute they're on screen together,
they just have good chemistry.
They do, and it's like one of those things where they almost look like they are having to hold themselves back from touching each other even when they're introduced on screen.
You are right.
And that's how intense it is.
It is so intense. And there is just like tension. Like you're right. From the beginning, the tension is so high.
Yeah. And it never lets up. Like there's never a scene where you can like catch your breath and go like, oh, the tension's not high anymore.
Sorry, that's the cat feeder going off. I think we're good to go. So yes, you are spot on in the sense, I agree with you, of the intensity right off the bat. But what also I think really makes it work is the like undeniable like softness of some of it.
Yes,
too.
Absolutely.
Like there is like, I'm thinking I could pull a million out of my ass right now, but I'm thinking when the first race, when Dom gives a monologue of like,
oh my
you
God,
thought you had me. Like that is like, yes, so tender.
Huh,
it's like
too soon.
It's yeah. It's like that. Like whole monologue is like so. It's like so. Like
because
I don't know what it is.
There's something about it that's like the undertone where it's like, haha, I beat you. But the undertone is, let me teach you my ways.
Yes, it's like so. There's just so much love.
Yeah, there's love. There is tenderness.
It's like this song. It's yes, exactly.
It's so tender,
and all of that comes together to make it work. Like yes, if you removed any one of the elements, it wouldn't really work.
No, and that's why Triple X didn't work, because Triple X was Vin Diesel as like a whatever extreme sports guy, and it just didn't.
It just
work.
Didn't
like,
work.
I didn't care.
I didn't care.
Nope.
It wasn't exciting. It wasn't compelling.
No. At no point during that movie did they convince me to care. But the minute they introduced Dom and Brian as, like, enemies to lovers, the minute they introduced them, I cared. I was in. I was sad.
Yes. And it's like, if they would have cast any two other people, I don't think it would have. They wouldn't have made magic like that.
Correct.
They just wouldn't have done it.
No, it was special.
It was so special. And, like, yeah.
Yeah. So that's my final thoughts.
That's my final thoughts.
Those movies are very special, but specifically Paul Walker and Vin Diesel's relationship is very special.
Yeah, and it really shines on screen.
Agreed.
Anyway, this will not be the first time we discuss this on mic.
Nor the last.
Nor the last. We will be back. I don't know, like maybe I'm curious to see who listens to this episode, because I'm wondering if it's people like thinking they're gonna get like Fast and Furious movie commentary, and then they like ended up listening to Anyway, we'll sign off. This is going to be a long episode, probably. Hope you enjoyed it. Go, if you liked it, please leave a review, a rating. On Spotify, you could just tap 5 stars. That's awesome. If you go to Apple Podcasts, you can write a little review, which I would love so much. Follow the pod on Instagram, @ObscuraPod. I will be posting all of the incredible gay Fast and Furious visuals that I found today on there. So don't want to miss it, obviously. And remember to follow the show so you never miss an episode. New episodes every Monday, most of the time. Okay. Bye.
Bye.